Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item. Current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, calling Michael Yon at Michael_Yon for the reporting. He is in Panama City, having returned from the Darien Gap, the end of the Pan-American Highway, and the entry port, the gateway, for most of the planet. This last week, he's taken some colleagues to show them for the first time the camps and the flow of refugees, migrants, aliens coming through, headed, we believe, to the southern border. Michael, you've been to the Darien Gap many times over the last 3 years, and you've been there two or three times this year. What is changing? Because we need some new approaches to this overwhelming story. Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening. I just got off the Panama Canal, actually, with Brett Weinstein and Chris Martinson and Masako Gadaha from Japan. And boy, what a trip we've had. We were down in the Darien Gap, then we came up to the Panama Canal. And but down in the Darien Gap, you know, Chris Martinson and Masako has been there many times. But you know, Brett Weinstein, you know, what's happening down here sounds almost incredible until you physically come see it. I was just talking with Brett about 30 minutes ago, and he's like, yeah, I mean, it really, you know, telephone conversations just don't do it justice. But once you see it for yourself and you see how deadly serious this is for the United States and for others coming through, you know, he's going back to, and they're both going back to tell their respective millions of readers and listeners what's happening down here, that the huge numbers of Chinese coming through, and obviously Venezuelans, and now Ecuadorians, of course, with the you know, Ecuador, the path to Ecuador from the, you know, into the Darien Gap is well established, and it's only growing. And for instance, every day Chinese land and others land in Quito, Ecuador, the capital, and from there they take buses up to Colombia. And there they enter the Darien Gap, and then they exit the Darien Gap and proceed to basically hyperspacing to, you know, cities all around the United States. Actually, one of the things we heard on this trip was that some of the Chinese now are actually after they leave or get out of Panama, or actually some of them directly from Colombia take boats just directly to Mexico. And from Mexico, they take boats to Canada. And then from Canada, they come over, they either stay in Canada or come across the northern border into the United States. So there's more and more routes opening up. There's more routes than you can shake a stick at. Obviously, some people ask, you know, why don't they just fly in instead of going over the gap, which a lot of them do fly in. Huge numbers do fly in, but not everybody can get a visa. Not everybody can fly in. And so those are, you know, they're coming by any way they can get in. Some come up on the beaches of Florida, like at Jupiter Beach and other places, and others come across the northern border. Some fly in, some come across Mexico, or, you know, come across the Texas or Arizona or New Mexico or California borders. Yeah, it's plane, trains, and automobiles, John, and it's only increasing. Even as more routes open up from the south, say, you know, from Mexico into the United States, there's more and more feeders into Mexico. For instance, they don't all come through the Darien Gap. Many of them, again, bypass the Darien. And others, by the way, fly straight to the United States from Colombia and Guatemala because something called the CBP1 app. This is this application that, you know, you can put on your phone and you fill out this application, this form, and then you can fly directly to the United States from Colombia and from Ecuador. So, I mean, these sorts of things are all facilitated by the United States. I just took Brett Weinstein and Chris Martinson and Masako Gadaha just like 30 minutes ago. We were at the IOM headquarters, or an hour ago. We were at the IOM headquarters here in Panama City. It's right down the street from where I'm at now. They literally, the IOM is the main engine for the invasion of the United States and Europe, IOM. the International Organization for Migration. Now, the main funder of IOM is the United States. The second major funder is Germany, and the third is Canada. So basically, the United States is not basically, but explicitly, the United States is the largest funder of the engine for invading the United States. And, you know, again, when I first told Brett and Chris this, I think even though, you know, they've seen my work before and for quite a while, it still doesn't sound quite credible because it's just over the top crazy that the United States would invade the United States with weaponized migration. But it's happening. Bottom line, period, full stop. Our money's doing it. Mayorkas is directly involved. Even RFK just called him out just before you and I came on. Somebody sent me a link. RFK was talking about, you know, Mayorkas and the invasion from the south. Actually, I was going to take RFK down into the dairy, and I'll say that now because he said it on an interview. But we're not going to do it now for security reasons. But it was top secret at the time, of course. But then he said it on an interview. And anyway, but the bottom line is RFK is apprised of what's going on down here. Nobody from Team Trump wants to go with me for some reason. I don't know what their problem is. They need to man up and come down here. There's nobody that knows Darien Gap like me, except for people that are in the a Panamanian government or people who actually live down there and work it. But when it comes to the overall picture of what's happening between the Darien Gap and other flows through Europe and whatnot, I'm constantly out in these places, whether it's Morocco or, you know, Netherlands or Germany or wherever. I'm constantly in these places actually watching the flow. I've been across the entire U.S. southern border from SpaceX at Boca Chica, which is on the mouth of the Rio Grande, all the way to San Diego. I've spent months of the time down there on the U.S. and Mexican sides and in Tapachula, the southern. I know these flows quite well and what's going on. And yet, Michael, I don't see anybody coming from Team Trump.
Michael, a detail. The camps that are intaking at the end of the Pan-American Highway, are they growing? Are they adding trailers? Do you see any activity of building more?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we were just down there. Again, I just took Brett Weinstein and Chris Martinson and Masako Ganaha down again. Every time I'm down there, they're growing. For instance, they're putting in a water purification facility in La Blanca's camp. You know, I just saw it like days ago. And they're building two new camps out in the jungle, near Cana Membrillo. There's another camp going up. That's a village in the jungle. And they've got another a clearing that they've recently made near another remote village called Bajo Chiquito. I go to these things all the time. And the flows are much smoother. They've added more buses to the ride. The systems are much smoother. In other words, even if the camps were as small as they used to be 3 years ago, the throughput would still be much higher now just because they're more efficient. I mean, the jungle camps, the ones when you actually finally get to the edge of the Darien Gap and inside of Panama, they're more like bus stations now because most of the people who show up, they're almost instantly out. You can be within hours, you can be on a bus up to Costa Rica, right? If nothing else, usually the vast majority of people are out at least within 24 hours, whereas it used to be like weeks and in some cases even months. Now it's just like you're in one door, you're out the other.
All right, let's go to Bioconchito. I know that camp well because you've made videos of it. You say it's larger and it's growing. There used to be a long line of Haitians waiting outside of Doctors Without Borders. Is that still there, that long line?
Yep, it's longer now. Usually, not as many. I mean, there are a lot of Haitians, but the majority now are actually Venezuelans and people from about 150 other countries. Tons of Afghans, Egyptians, or people that say they're Egyptians. A lot of Arabic speakers. You know, it's hard to tell if they're telling the truth. Tons of Chinese, of course, but the Venezuelans are somebody of specific interest because many of the Venezuelans. Or actually Hezbollah, right? And they'll speak Spanish fluently because many people from that part of the world actually moved to South America, including Venezuela, And now there's many generations, numerous generations of people from the Middle East that have lived in South America that speak Spanish fluently or local languages. And many of them are coming through the Darien Gap. It's very interesting because, for instance, one of the masterminds of the 1994 attack lives in Venezuela now. Right. 1994 attack on a Jewish center in Argentina and an airplane in Panama. He now lives in Venezuela.
Generalizing the population that you saw this week, a lot of families, a lot of children, pregnant women, or young males? Any indication of which way it's going?
The plurality continues to be military-age males. I mean, by far, right? There are some what appear to be family units, but that's more, you know, I mean, when mainstream media goes down there, they'll focus on those people with the children or whatnot. But that's actually the minority of the people coming through. But you don't see that in the news. It looks like it's all women and children that sort of thing, when it's clearly mostly military age males.
Well, the news showed up 3 years late. Now, about the intaking camps, you come in from the various intakes in the jungle. You come in and you arrive at the camp. Do you register at the camp before you get a ride on the buses to Costa Rica? Do you give your identification? What happens to you?
Yep, they'll give their – a lot come in with no identification for various reasons. But, yes, if they have ID, they present those to the Panamanian Cinefront, very professional, basically sort of Border Patrol police slash army. And they will – present ID if they have it, and then they proceed forward. And that's where IOM and all the other people meet them in the camps.
Right. Now, they get on the bus. They're going to Costa Rica. So the center front is counting heads as they come in. The center front's numbers are good. Do you think they're accurate?
Probably mostly accurate, actually. I don't know about the numbers that they publish, but the numbers that they tell us appear to be accurate. We saw their numbers on their that were posted on the Cinefront office wall in the office out in the jungle a few days ago. Those numbers look probably accurate. I don't have any way to specifically audit, but based on, you know, what I'm seeing and looking at the numbers on their wall, probably about right, roughly right, definitely directionally accurate.
And the hotel, you stayed with the owner until he passed away, and now his wife owns the hotel. Is it busy? Are the rooms full?
Actually, this time, it was the wife that passed away, and this time it was full, and this was the first time I couldn't stay there.
Ah.
In fact, because this time there was somebody there called Global Brigades. And with Global Brigades, the entire hotel was full.
What's a global,
so that was the first time we were unable to stay there.
What is Global Brigades?
Actually, I'm not sure exactly what they do. I haven't been able to look into it yet because we've been busy doing other things, but they're working in the camps.
Did they look like an NGO? Did they talk like NGO, you know, sort of?
They look like NGO.
Yeah, right.
They look like NGO. Yeah. But I'm unclear. I didn't research them.
I understand. IOM is running a very smooth operation. And the last time we talked about when you were at the Gap, the buses were leaving all 24 hours. They were leaving in huge convoys. Is that still going on, Michael?
Yes, but they've changed the way they do it slightly. In the past, they would line up all the buses, like 20 or 30 buses, and go all at once. Now, as soon as the buses are loaded, I mean, sometimes they just take off with a single bus at a time, right, or two or three buses. They spread them out much more. It's like, in other words, instead of waiting for everybody on the road to clog up the road, and that makes things much faster and smoother too, right? Because if you leave as soon as you load, the buses turn around faster, right? You don't have some buses waiting for an hour for the other buses to come.
Right.
They're already an hour down the road, right?
Do they charge for that bus ride?
They do. The prices have changed over time. It can be, you know, different prices, different times. I don't know what it is at the moment. I'm going to guess from the Piragua ride, which is the boat, and the bus to Costa Rica, I'm going to guess about $40 to $60. That's directionally accurate.
Right. Michael Yan is in Panama City. He's just returned from watching the Darien Gap's amazing demonstration one more time. We're going to the Panama Canal, which is in a crisis. It's not a Houthi missile crisis. It's a drought crisis. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.